We're in Romans chapter 6 this morning, so why don't you turn there for our study this morning. And we've entitled the message, Reckon the Old Man Dead. Now, this is not a marriage seminar, ladies, so it's totally different than that, you know, if you're going through a tough time with your hubby. But it's dealing with something completely different. It's talking about our sin nature. And I like that term in the King James, and that's why I use that term. New American Standard doesn't say that. Just consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. But I like that, reckon the old man dead. You know, it just has that kind of that real poignant punch to it. I read a story years ago in the pioneering days of aviation. There was a pilot who was making a flight coast to coast, and after he had gone roughly 2 hours from the last landing field, he heard in the plane and recognized the gnawing of a rat in the back of the plane. He realized that the last landing field, a rat had crawled into the plane, and he imagined that rat chewing through vital flight control cables. And he realized this is a serious situation. And he was both concerned and anxious. And it was about 2 hours back to the old field and a little over 2 hours to his next landing field. And he thought, well, what do I do? And then he remembered that rats are rodents. And they're not made for high altitude, but they're made to live on the ground or under the ground. And so he began to climb in his plane. He went up another 1,000 feet, and then another 2,000 feet, and then finally he was at 20,000 feet, and the gnawing stopped. The rat was dead, he supposed, unable to survive in the upper atmosphere. More than 2 hours later, he landed in that next landing destination, and he discovered, in fact, the rat was dead. You see, and I kind of see that as an illustration or an analogy to our Christian lives. You see, our Christian experience, sometimes we can feel like that pilot. Man, we're just doing, you know, we're doing so well. You know, at first, we're doing well, and we feel like we've just got experiencing that victory for a time. It seems like we're soaring in those spiritual clouds, and then suddenly, sin, like a rat, begins gnawing away at the cables of our faith. The rodent of our old life begins to threaten to bring us down. This Christian life that started out so well, we were doing so good, and we fear we're going to crash and burn. Man, am I going to be able to hold on another day, another hour, another week? Just feel so weak, and we wonder, will there ever be victory in my life, true victory that I read about in the Bible? The flesh seems to be so strong and so dominating. Is there really hope? And you see, the answer lies in chapter 6 to 8. We've come into chapter 6 this morning, and especially in the message we want to share this morning, and looking at a few verses, one in particular, we have Romans 6, verse 11. We'll look at a couple others. But reckoning the old man dead. But you're going to find in chapter 6 to 8, it's dealing with that. You see, we've been given instructions on not so much how to do more, but how to go higher, how to gain altitude in this spiritual realm and defeat the flesh, experience God's power in our life, instead of these besetting sins constantly coming in and draining us, sapping us of power and that victory that we feel like we're close to, but we never seem to really follow through with and have on a permanent basis. You see, we want to ascend and live in the atmosphere of the Spirit and die to the old life that wants to crash us and crush us in this new life that God has given. Now, we've discovered already, if you've been with us in the book of Romans, beginning in about chapter 3, verse 21, those first three chapters up to that, it really lays out the case we're all sinners. We've all blown it. But from chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 5, we've learned that we're saved. We're saved, and it's a free gift of God. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We don't have to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ has paid it for us. And it's by faith, it's by believing in what he's done on the cross. And now in chapter 6 to 8, we're going to also learn that God has delivered us from the power of sin. By believing, by trusting in the Word of God, by trusting in what the Bible says about this new life God has given us. Hey, we're already going to heaven. The penalty of sin has been dealt with. But how about our here and now? How about our life right now? How about this sin that wants to just keep latching on to my life? Well, the Bible indicates that, yes, God has delivered us from the power of sin. It doesn't have to be that focal point. It doesn't have to be that thing that latches on to your life and brings you down. You see, it all comes down to faith in the facts of heaven, in God's facts, not trusting in our fleshly feelings, what we feel so often. We mentioned that last time, but we're going a little different direction this morning. We're replacing these heavenly realities because there are heavenly realities that we might not be experiencing right now, but we're replacing those for this earthly mindset, what sometimes our mind tells us, and yet it's in contradiction to what the Bible says about us. It's trading the truths of the Word of God for the experiences in this material world. We all have experiences that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, we're going to look this morning how to kind of turn that around and replace that. You see, because wrong thinking, wrong worldly thinking, carnal thinking, natural mind thinking, it's going to lead us astray. But God's Word is never going to lead us astray. It'll only lead us into victory, and it'll lead us into the abundant life. Well, again, recapping, those first five chapters, very important because that's the foundation in which we're going to build this structure, this superstructure of our spiritual lives. And so the first five chapters, so important. It sets the foundation for salvation. And we've discovered that no one has ever lived a life here on planet Earth perfectly. Jesus Christ is the exception. We'll get to him in a moment. But you see, we've never lived this perfect life, and that's what God requires to have fellowship with him, to go to heaven. Well, we've all fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, of the standard of perfection. None of us. Well, they say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. I'm not the worst, and I'm not the best, but I think my life is good enough to go to heaven. Oh, no, you've got to be perfect. You see, that's what God says. And all of us fall short. It's not just you, just not me. It's all of us. And that's what he's been laying out. All are under the condemnation of sin. You see, we're deserving the penalty of death. And that is eternal separation from God. We're all in the same boat, and that's what he's been laying out. But we saw, as we got to chapter 3, we saw that God pities our condition. He pities us, and he sent his son who lived a perfect life, not one sin, absolutely pristine, perfect. And he paid the price of redemption. He paid for our sin on the cross. That's what it's saying. And he's taken upon himself our sins. And then he rose from the dead the third day. And now all who believe in him can have forgiveness of sin. It's so simple, we don't have to complicate it. Even a child can understand that. You see, and we've been talking about being justified by faith, or God in heaven, when we put our faith in the work that Christ has done on the cross. God, it's like he's a judge with a big gavel. He hits the block and he says, you're justified, or you're judicially made right before heaven. You're my child, you're coming to heaven. The penalty of sin has been paid for in the body of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. And then what has God done? He's given us his righteous life in us. That's what the Bible says. That's the amazing thing. That's why sometimes you see people that were so radical before, their life changes so completely. You see, that's the idea of God's righteousness. His life is now living in us. And so these first five chapters tells us that we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So God will not account your sin, my sin, against us, because Jesus took the penalty upon himself. That's the good news. But what about the power of sin? The power that sin has over my life right now. Don't kid me, Bill. I sense the power of sin and the temptation and those desires. They're still there. Don't try to kid me. Yeah, I know. I know. I feel the same way. You know what? Paul felt the same way as well. You see, that's why he's laying out this. How can I be delivered from this influence, this control over my life? Is it possible to have victory over sin? You see, that's where we're going. That's what Paul is talking about. You might say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I really believed in the Lord, and I know I'm going to walk with Jesus eternally. I do believe that. That's in my heart. But what about walking right now in victory with him? I mean, sometimes I feel like I disappoint him so bad, you know, because of my thought life or my actions or my attitude and all this stuff. What about that? How can I please God in my daily life right now? How can I live a life of victory today? Is that possible? Well, that's where Paul's going with all this. The Bible says we can. And you see, we can, and it's, as we said this morning, it's reckoning the old man dead, the old sin nature, and living in the power of that new life that God has provided for us. Because you have that new life in you if you're a Christian. It's there. You see, God says it's there, and Paul is laying out the fact that it's there. We've already talked about that. But you see, so many Christians who are going to heaven, they live a life of defeat. They live a kind of a carnal Christian existence. Well, it's not like the old life, but man, there's plenty of elements of the old life there. So we talk about a carnal Christian existence. It's kind of a life of the flesh where sin and the old nature seem to constantly get the best of the person. And it's frustrating. It's hard. They're never able to experience that new life of victory in Christ, but they're always falling back into defeat. The rat of sin gnawing away, the rodent of the old life, bringing them down. You see, it's not doing more. It's excelling into the, ascending into the heavenly place, into where God is, and believing what God says about us. I think sometimes we as Christians, we can feel like the Hebrews. Remember when they were brought out of Egypt, and God wanted them to go into the promised land, that land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was an abundant life delivered from the bondage of Egypt, which is a type of sin. And on their way to the promised land, oh boy, did God put in their mind every good thing that they were going to experience. Vineyards they didn't plant, houses they didn't build, cisterns they didn't have to dig, and it was only an 11-day journey away. Why did it take 40 years then? And that whole generation died out? What's the deal with that? Well, they frustrated the grace of God. They frustrated the promises of God because of unbelief. You see, God would simply bring them in if they would simply walk with him in that new life that he was going to provide for them, instead of walking in their old carnal ways, believing their feelings, believing their emotions, believing their circumstances, believing what the earthly thing says, the worldly thing says, instead of believing God. No, they couldn't see the promises. They couldn't taste the promises. God had done plenty for them. And it wasn't so tangible that, you know, they had it, you know, given to them on a platter. They still needed faith to enter in. But you see, they resisted God. And then they grumbled. They grumbled over their condition. And so often we do the same thing. God, I'm not getting enough. You're not doing enough. And we start grumbling like the children of Israel. We start wandering in this wilderness of our Christian life where God wants to give us a victory. You see, grumbling over the conditions. And so God gave them over to their own ways, to walk in their carnality. I want this. I want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. Finally, the psalm said he gave them their desires, but he brought leanness to their souls. In other words, they were spiritually bankrupt. Oh, he gave them their ways, and they went their ways. Oh, but it was horrible. It was a wilderness. They had their desires, but it was so barren. It was so empty. And they found leanness of their souls. You see, their life was the flesh life. Their wilderness wandering, that carnal believism. They got out of Egypt, but they couldn't get Egypt out of them. You see, God's got us out of the world. But sometimes we're like the Hebrews. We're wandering, and he really hasn't thoroughly got the world out of us. We're like them. We're longing for. You know, we're longing for the old. We're looking back to what we had, and what did they want? The leeks and the garlics. Oh, we miss those. Really? Is that the best you can do? Leeks and garlics? And what do we think about? We think about those little things, you know, those little titillating sins. And yet we forget the emptiness. We forget the barrenness. You see, they were complaining how hard it was to enter into this new life. Oh, it's so much pressure. So they wandered aimlessly in a life of defeat. You know, and if we're not careful, we can be like the Hebrews. And maybe you're thinking, you know what, Bill? Man, you've pretty much summed up my life. Well, I hope this morning it really takes a turn for the better. You know, as we look at what Paul is writing out here. You see, God has saved us, really, just to reaffirm this, from the penalty of sin. You know, you are going to heaven because you are a believer in Christ. But you see, if that power of sin is still ruling over you, maybe you haven't gone far enough. Maybe you haven't gone high enough and realized that, you know what, those rats of the flesh are dead, those rodents of carnality. God's already killed them. You see, we just need to draw on the heavenly truth, the heavenly reality of what God has already done. You see, he's given us the victory through the cross of Jesus Christ from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin, if we have faith. But those that are wandering in the wilderness, those that are under the bondage of the flesh, life dominated by sin, well, haven't gone far enough. Been delivered from Egypt, and yet you're kind of going around in circles, haven't entered that promised land. Paul says the flesh life need not rule over our life. And he instructs us how to kill the rat of carnality and sin, the rodent of the old life. In fact, it's already done. You see, death has already taken place. And so Paul's going to point to the spiritual reality of the old life being crucified with Christ. No longer is it I who live, but Christ that lives in me. You see, if you can say that, then that's the reality. No longer is it I that live, but Christ that lives in me if I'm a Christian. Now, what he does in chapter 6 is he uses baptism. And as we imagine baptism, a person being immersed, totally going under and then coming up, it's an idea of death, going down in death and coming up in newness of life. And so he's using that as a picture of what has actually taken place in us. Now, just because you're baptized, that doesn't mean that takes place. You see, it's already taken place if you're a sinner. He's only using that as an illustration. This is what is true. This is what is a reality in our life. He uses that idea that the old life is buried, and what emerges as you come out is that new life in Christ. He says those who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. You see that in verse 3. We're not going to camp on those verses, but just as we go through that, you'll see it. We'll deal with it in more detail tonight. So what he's meaning is this old life of sin, the old life of sin. You've been baptized into his death. He's saying that old life of sin has died with Christ on the cross. Now, what has died on the cross as you're going under, you're coming up, you're raised. Raised in its place is that new life that God has given in Christ. As Christ was raised from the dead, so you too might walk in newness of life. That's verse 4. So here, the idea of baptism, you're going down, you're burying the old life because you're already saved. It's what's happened. It's what he's done on the cross. He's crucified the old life on the cross. But then when you're coming up, you're coming up in newness of life. As soon as you've received Christ, he's in you. That new life is in you. So that outward act is just a outward act of what has already taken place in you. So he's trying to impress us with that idea. And he goes on and he says, how shall we who have died to sin still live in any longer? So in other words, we've died to sin. We don't have to keep practicing it. It's not part of our new nature. It's not part of who we are now, this new person. You see, as believers, we identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. The truth in heaven is, this is the truth in heaven, whether you feel it, whether you acknowledge it, whether you think it or not, whether there are contrary experiences, but the truth in heaven is the old life of sin has died with Christ on the cross, and in its place, a new life has emerged with Christ. New life has emerged with Christ in you. You are a new creation in Christ as he's resurrected from the dead. Just as surely as he is resurrected from the dead, that's a reality. You are a new person in yourself. That is what God says about you, and that's what God thinks about you. Well, the next question then, how do I appropriate that new life? How do I live out that new life if I feel like sin is so much encompassing me? Well, that's what he's getting to here. And just as you came in by faith and you're saved, now you walk in this new life by faith. Notice what he says in verse 6. Let's go back to verse 6. He says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He says, know this. This is a fact in heaven. Know it. He wants us to know it. Fact in heaven. The old self was crucified with Christ, that the sin nature is done away with. Or literally, the term there is put out of business. The Greek term is katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O, katargero. And it literally means to sever, to terminate, to be unemployed. The leading promoter of sin is done away with. The machinery of sin is dismantled, is what it's saying. That's the truth in heaven. You say, well, it sure doesn't feel like it's dismantled. Well, it is. You see, there's where the faith kicks in. Remember the old in the 20s, Elliot Ness? And when Prohibition, you know, they had Prohibition and, you know, there were all those that were the speakeasies and people trying to get out liquor, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. And so you had a lot of the distilleries, you know, that were brewing up, you know, whatever they called it, hooch or whatever it was, and selling it. And some of it was really bad. People were going blind. But anyway, you know, they had it. And so they put a task force on it in the FBI. Elliot Ness, he led up his agents. They were called the Untouchables, you know, and they'd go in and maybe you see in the old movies where they're smashing the bottles and the kegs and so forth. But really, the thing that they wanted to get to were the stills, the thing that was producing the alcohol. You see, and that's what they did. They went in and they dismantled the stills. That is the idea in your life. The sin engine has been dismantled. That's what God is saying. It's been put out of business. No longer Do we have to be a slave to sin? That's what the Bible is saying. Know this, he's saying. It's a fact in heaven. The carnal mind, the lustful desires that would drive our thought life and to drive our activities is cut off. The engine is shut down. It's a fact in heaven. You might say, well, it doesn't feel like a fact, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think or what you feel, does it? It didn't matter what the children of Israel thought or felt. The giants were bigger than them. That's why they didn't go in. But you see, it's an act of faith. It's not feeling. That's what God says. And so God is asking us to believe these things we can't see or we can't feel, but they're heavenly realities. Have faith in what is to be, because that is to be in your life. That's what God is bringing into your life. That's what which God will bring into existence, those things that are in heaven brought into an earthly reality by believing. You see what I'm saying? It's a fact in heaven. It'll not change. It'll always be a fact. Whether you wilderness wander in this life for the next how many years, and then you go to heaven, and you go, man, that was hard on earth. It was hard because you didn't believe. It was hard for the children of Israel. But you see, that's not what God promised. That's not what God wanted. But you see, you were just going by your feelings, going by your emotions, going by what you saw in this realm. And you thought that was a fact, but the fact in heaven is your old nature was put out of business when Christ went to the cross and you were there with him. The psalmist says, 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is in heaven right now, folks. It's a fact. I have been crucified with Christ. I don't have to have those old thoughts, those old deeds, those old attitudes. I don't have to. Well, we'll go a little farther with this. But I think of Noah. Remember when God asked Noah to build a boat because he was going to flood the earth? Noah could have protested and said, wait a minute, Lord. There's no water around here. It's never rained in my lifetime. It's never even rained. The Bible says the earth was watered by a mist. It had never rained. I mean, that area there, they were like 500 miles from any body of water. You're going to flood the earth? Sounded kind of ridiculous. But the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence, built an ark. You see, it took him about 100 years to build the ark. So you think he got a little bit discouraged after 20, 40, 50, 100 years, you know, right before the rain came down? I'm sure he had stuff going around in his mind. But notice he believed God and God brought it to pass. What about Abraham and Sarah? We brought their names up a couple times. We found them back there in Romans 4. But Abraham, the Bible says about Abraham, without becoming weak in faith, you can find it in Romans 4:19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. He was 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was past menopause. And yet with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. You see, you might not feel it, experience it. It might not be on your radar screen because there's so many things contrary. But wait a minute, that doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter one bit. If God said it, that settles it. I believe it. It's a fact in heaven. We don't have to be under the domination and the control of sin any longer. You see, the promise to the children of Israel was there. They just didn't believe it. So they wandered for 40 years. It's what happened to them. But the problem is, we're all in the same boat. We all know this. The problem is we still have these desires that are contrary to God's promises and God's will. The sin nature within all of us screams out loud and clear. And so God tells us, it's a fact in heaven. So now what God tells us, because we have contrary feelings and emotions, God says, reckon the old man dead, verse 11. Even so, because it's a fact in heaven, even so consider or reckon yourself, old man, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, if we had no sinful thoughts or carnal desires, we wouldn't need to reckon anything, would we? Wouldn't be a problem. He wouldn't even be writing this. But we, as Paul himself and every single believer in Christ, we have those rodents of sin, the rats of the flesh. They want to gnaw away at God's work in our life. And so we must reckon, we must consider the old nature dead. It's a fact in heaven, so consider it, believe it to be true in your life, no matter what contrary feelings you might have, is what he's saying. Now, reckoning, it's an accounting term to put to your account. If you get $100 and you put it in your bank account, your checking account, you can draw up to $100. It's in your account. God is saying, account this in heaven. It's a fact. You've been crucified. The old nature is out of business, dismantled. So put that to your account. Put that in your spiritual bank account, he's telling us. An act of faith, but really an accounting of our spiritual life. It's taking a position of faith. That's what we're saying. There's a fact in heaven, and now that position of faith, I'm accounting it to my account that my old nature is dead, accounting the fact that you're dead to sin, and you're dead to those fleshly desires that seek to control your life. You might say, well, that's hard, Bill, but that's an act of faith. You see, that's what God is bringing us out of this realm of carnality and this realm of fleshly thinking into this spiritual realm where there's tremendous freedom. You know, we're flying high with the Lord. It's an incredible walk. But also, not just considering the old man dead, now also account to your life that you're alive in God with this new life that he's given, the new desires that he's given. You see, just as Christ was raised from the dead, never to die again, that's a fact. So too, you must take that position of faith. A fact, you old man is, old nature is dead, been dismantled. I'm taking that position of faith, and now there is a new life inside me, the life of God inside of me. That's what he's saying. You say, but Bill, you know, I've read the Bible a long time. And man, you don't know how weak I am. I'm so weak. I've given in so many times in the past, so often. It just seems like it's never going to end. Maybe you have failed over and over and over again. But I would say, take this morning a position of faith. Try it. What do you got to lose? You want to keep wandering in the wilderness? I don't. You see, I don't want to wander in the wilderness, so I want to take that position of faith, knowing the old man is dead, that old Bill, you know, was put on the cross. You know, I remember in one of the services, a new person was in there, and I said, that old Bill Stonebreaker is dead. He's just carnal. And some guy raised his hand and said, I don't think he ought to be talking bad about somebody who's not here. I said, who are you talking about? He said, this Bill Stonebreaker. I said, I'm Bill Stonebreaker. You know? It's kind of funny. But you see, our old self, you know, taking that position, taking that position of faith that the old is dead, the new has come forth. And when those sinful desires, that old nature comes at you, you don't have to give in. That is what the Bible is saying. But you can take that position of faith, reckoning the old dead, and realizing it's a fact in heaven, and now there is a new person inside of you, that new person fashioned after Christ. And that can be our life if we simply know the old man is dead and reckon the new man to be alive. And you'll find that in time, the reality of that new life will kick in. You'll realize that, man, This is happening. Oh, it's never, the temptation will never be there. The flesh will never, you know, will never just go away. That's why we need to crucify it daily. Pick up our cross daily. But you see, dead to sin, alive to Christ, it becomes a lifestyle that we walk in. You see, God will act on your behalf when you put faith in the facts of heaven, with what God says in heaven. He will act on your behalf, on my behalf. And when we apply this to our life, you see, it pleases him. And we find that he delivers us from sin. He sets us free. And then we begin to walk with him. When I'm down at Sandy Beach body surfing, sometimes you see the tourists get in the water, and there are signs posted everywhere, and sometimes the lifeguards can't get to them, but they get in a very difficult, you know, situation in the shore break, and sometimes they're just pummeled, you know, and rolling around and rolling back up the beach, down the beach, you know, before anybody can get to them. And to me, it's kind of fun to watch. I know they're not going to, I know that's just me. I know they're not going to drown, but I want to go, didn't you see the sign? You know, I mean, the lifeguards, they are so gracious. You know, they are great, great guys and gals down there. But, you know, I realize, you know, because I get caught in, sometimes there's just a real heavy pull in that current, you know, and I might get out of the water with my fins and walking up the beach. And I realize if I take a stance and that surge is pulling me back toward the ocean, if I'll take a stance toward the beach and just get my footing, eventually the tide, the surge releases me and I can run up the beach. You see, it's the same way with our old sin nature. You feel like, man, it's pulling you back. So we'll take that stance of faith. It's a fact in heaven. Reckon the old person, the old sin nature dead. There's a new nature in you. Take that stance and you'll find that ultimately, eventually, you'll be released and you'll be walking in the Spirit, walking in that new life. I'm not saying you're not doing it now, but it kind of intermittent. You know, don't we want it to be more of a consistent thing? You might go, well, why does God take so long with me? I've been a Christian for so long, and it seems like he's taking so long. Well, sometimes I think it's the fact that we get in the way. You know, we think, well, I can handle this. I can do this. And so God says, okay, you go ahead, Bill. Handle it. God takes his hands off. And so we find that, man, we just make a mess out of things. And God takes his hands off. And then we call him back into the situation. And so he comes back into the situation and he works. He works so he gets the glory. And we can't boast in anything. Other times, we just kind of forget. We forget or we neglect our position of faith, and we yield to the flesh. We yield to the flesh, and we find ourselves defeated and then defeated again. And really, God is just teaching us to walk in the Spirit, make no provision for the flesh. The backslider will get his fill of his ways. And it's like, man, I don't want to live in this flesh life any longer. You know, I've neglected to take that stance of faith. And here's the last thing. Here's the thing that we end off with. Very practical, verse 13. Do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There's the practical part, presenting. Presenting part. Not to the old flesh dens that you used to, not to the old lifestyle of sin, but present yourself to this new life in the Spirit, not putting yourself in the place of jeopardy or temptation, you know, not going to the old hangouts, to those old places. You know there's a lot of temptation. You know, that's the place that you fell the last time. You're not going to go there. You see, I realize some this morning, they are fighting strong battles of the flesh. And you've been struggling and you've been wrestling for a long time. The Bible addresses that, Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's just a tug of war, a wrestling match. As we go a little farther in chapter 7, we're going to find that Paul describes his own struggle. He struggles just like you. He struggles just like me. Wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to be right with God, but these powerful forces within keep him from doing what he knows is right before the Lord. Sometimes keeps us from doing what is right that we know is right before the Lord. You see, you may be struggling this morning with the weakness of the flesh, with temptation, radical temptation. And it's going, that temptation is going against what you know is right with the Lord. And Jesus knows that. Didn't he say that to Peter? The flesh is willing, or the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord knows those difficulties in our life. He hasn't abandoned us. Maybe you're wondering, does this have to go on forever? Do I have to be a slave to sin all my life? Do I have to go through this wilderness wandering until I'm with the Lord face to face? Can I have victory today, now? Well, the Bible says, assuredly, you can. The old self was crucified on the cross with Christ. Then reckon that, account that to your life. It's been dismantled. You don't have to go back to the old sin, the old man, the old nature. There's a new person, Christ-likeness inside of you that wants to come forth as you present yourself, oh, not to the old ways, not to the old attitudes, not to the old thinking, that fleshly, earthly thinking, but now presenting yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, to the spiritual things, as you're doing this morning. Doesn't it feel good to just come and get refreshed? Can you imagine just, you know, in your personal life, doing it constantly? You know, praying to the Lord, just maybe getting, you don't have much time, but just getting a little bit of the scripture throughout the day, and then a little bit more throughout the day again, maybe turning on the radio, hearing the teaching here, and some praise music there, going to prayer, and, you know, just feeding the Spirit. That is what he's saying, presenting yourself to the Lord, to the things of the Spirit. And then you discover, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Oh, the enemy wants to bring you down. But you see, God wants to lift you up, wants you to soar higher. See what we've looked at? Kind of like a train, like an engine is faith. The coal car is, the engine is fact. It's a fact in heaven, you have been crucified. The coal car is faith, consider it so, account it to your account, and then the caboose is feelings. Feelings don't run the ship, steer the train, you know, run my life, but it's the fact in heaven. And then I take that position of faith and feelings will follow behind. You see, it's not doing more. It's not doing more, but it's going higher into the spiritual atmosphere where God lives and you live there with him. We have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You see, in apprehending that in your life, defeating the rodents of carnality, the rats of the old sin nature, and finding out that they're already dead as you're, you know, soaring in those heavenly places and you've been crucified with Christ and there's a new life within you. Because you're living by faith. What an awesome work that God seeks to do in all of our lives. Let's pray. Father, almost too good to be true, Lord, we pray that we might just have a little bit of a computer chip and maybe reprogram us and we not have to work at it and not have to apply faith to it, but just hit the on button and we just get up in the morning and we're just somehow a robot, but you haven't made us robots. Lord, you've made us people that draw near to you by faith. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for that. We know that sometimes in those struggles, Lord, you just work a beauty in us, a beauty that we do not have now through that struggling and through those difficult times as we just seek to apprehend you and walk in that faith walk, soar higher with you. In a sense, into those spiritual heavenly places where you're at, and really where you've placed us. So, Lord, I do pray that there would be a real turning point in so many lives this morning. Lord, as we recognize the fact in heaven that we have been crucified with Christ, and then we realize, consider it so, reckon it to our account, account it, that the sin nature has been dismantled. We don't have to continue after sin. and then continue to present ourselves to the good things of God, no longer to the sin dens. Work that work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we stand together? I was thinking, with the struggle that maybe you're going through, I had heard a story of a fella. He was in his office, and on the windowsill there were a cocoon, chrysalis, that was spun, and he saw the little, a couple of them, and he saw the convulsing of the cocoon, and little butterfly was coming forth, but as the butterfly came forth, there was an umbilical cord there, and it was just trying to break loose and all, and he watched it, and every time it just kind of, you know, surged to break loose, it kind of shot this color into its wings, and then finally it did break loose, and it took off, and it, you know, floated away, and it was a beautiful butterfly, and it was around. And then there was another one that, again, this one, just a few days later, it tried to break loose of it. And he just couldn't stand the pain that it was going through trying to break loose the umbilical cord. So he opened his window, he took out his little fingernail clippers, and he clipped the umbilical cord. He said that butterfly was like a moth. It didn't have much life in it. It just kind of, you know, hung out there, and it didn't have the brilliant color. It didn't have the beauty of the one that struggled. And so you might be going through a real struggle, and you wish, I wish God would just, you know, put me on autopilot. Well, I tell you, you wouldn't have the beauty. You wouldn't have the beauty of the Spirit that God is working in you as you struggle, you know, to cut loose of the sin and just allow the Spirit to just flow through and in your life. He will complete that work. Just keep going. Just apply what we've used this morning, and I just pray that all of us, you know, we might have that greater walk of faith in the Lord.